Treasures of wisdom, treasures of wisdom, treasures of wisdom, treasures of wisdom, treasures of wisdom. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله Dear viewers of Madarin channel, welcome back to another beautiful and splendid episode on the Silsila Treasures of Wisdom. And we hope and pray that you and your families are in the best of health and are keeping well, inshallah. Ameen, Ya Rabbal Alameen. Well, dear viewers of Madarin channel, Alhamdulillah, today we have a very beautiful and insightful topic of discussion. And that is, I must strive to rectify myself. Yes, I must strive to rectify myself. And subhanallah, to discuss this beautiful, insightful, and interesting topic of discussion, I have in studio none other than our most honorable guest, Maulana Tabariz Nuri Attari Hafidhahullah Ta'ala. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.
How are you keeping, Maulana Sahib?
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen.
MashaAllah. It's good to have you here, Maulana Sahib.
MashaAllah. Likewise, MashaAllah. We're looking forward to this program.
Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. You have greatly been missed, Maulana Sahib, on this program. Alhamdulillah. Well, Maulana Sahib, today we have a very interesting topic of discussion, a very insightful one actually. And that is, I must strive to rectify myself. And mashallah, this is the mission statement. This is the slogan of our beautiful organization, of our beautiful movement of Quran and Sunnah. And that is Da'wat-e-Islami, that I must strive to rectify myself and the people of the entire world, inshallah, azza wa jal. So, Maulana Sahib, in this, we will be covering many aspects with relation to this particular topic, because it's not just a phrase, it's not just a slogan wherein a person may say that I must strive to reform myself and the people of the entire world, and then that's it, full stop. No, I mean, it goes much more, much deeper than that, inshallah. So,
Alhamdulillah.
So, as we go on with our topic of discussion, we will be discovering many aspects in this regard, and we will be diving deep, inshallah, to give our views of Madani channel an insight into this beautiful slogan of Da'wat-e-Islami. But before the dear views of Madani channel, let us first and foremost mention the excellences of reciting salawat upon our beloved master Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And in this regard, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has very beautifully mentioned that whoever sends 100 salawat upon me has freedom from hypocrisy and from the fire of Jahannam written between their eyes by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. On the day of judgment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shall keep them with the martyrs. Send salawat upon our beloved master Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Mashallah, Maulana Sahib, you know, as per a tradition, that, you know, we start off mentioning the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then we mention we send salawat upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And mashallah, we also have a very beautiful kalam, a very beautiful naat in the praises of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for our viewers of Madani channel. So inshallah, let us go forward.
Are we going to be honored to listen from you, Maulana?
Ji?
Are we going to be honored to hear the kalam from yourself?
Allah. Inshallah, one day, Maulana Sahib. Inshallah. Inshallah, one day we will both recite the kalam together.
Kya baat hai.
Inshallah. But for now, alhamdulillah, we do have a very beautiful kalam that will rejuvenate our souls, our heart, and our mind in the love of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And mashallah, this kalam is recited by four Naat Khans of Da'wat-e-Islami, alhamdulillah. So let us go forward and enjoy this melodious kalam in the praises of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Mera salam kehna, mera salam kehna, mera salam kehna, mera salam kehna. Mahbub-e kibriya se mera salam kehna, Sultan-e anbiya se mera salam kehna, Mahbub-e kibriya se mera salam kehna, Sultan-e anbiya se par khuda ki rahmat ae azim e madina noor e muhammadi se roshan ho tera seena jab sahil e arab par pahunche tera safina us waqt sar jhuka Mustafa se mera salam kehna, mera salam kehna, mera salam kehna, mera salam kehna, mera salam kehna,
Mahbub-e kibriya se salam kehna, Sultan-e anbiya se mera salam kehna,
darbar-e mustafa ki hasil ho jab huzuri, peshe nazar ho jis dam wo bargah-e noori, jab arzu ho puri, washams ki ziya se mera salam kehna, mera salam kehna, mera salam kehna, mera salam kehna, mera salam kehna,
kibriya se mera salam kehna, Sultan-e anbiya se mera salam kehna,
raah-e talab ki lazzat jab qalb ko maza de, ishq-e nabi ye mursal jab rooh ko jila de, jab soze aashiqana jazbaat ko jaga de, hasti ka zarra zarra jab aah ki sada de, hasti ka zarra zarra jab aah ki صدا دے عالم کے دل ربا سے میرا سلام کہنا
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 محبوب کبریا سے میرا سلام کہنا سلطان انبیاء سے میرا سلام کہنا
ساحل پہ آتے آتے موجوں کو چوم لینا موجوں کے بعد دلکش ذروں کو چوم لینا اس پاک سرزمین کی راہوں کو چوم لینا پھولوں کو چوم لینا کانٹوں کو چوم لینا پھولوں کو چوم لینا کانٹوں کو چوم لینا پھر نور ودھا سے میرا سلام کہنا
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 محبوب کبریا سے میرا سلام کہنا سلطان انبیاء سے میرا سلام کہنا
روزے کی جالیوں کے جس دم قریب جانا رو رو کے حال مسلم سرکار کو سنانا
بے ساختہ مچل
بسانا پھر نور حق نما سے میرا سلام کہنا
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 محبوب کبریا سے میرا سلام کہنا سلطان انبیاء سے میرا سلام کہنا محبوب کبریا سے میرا سلام کہنا سلطان انبیاء سے میرا سلام کہنا
کہنا
صلوا علی الحبیب صلی اللہ علی محمد صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم سبحان اللہ سبحان اللہ what a beautiful kalam in the praises of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I'm sure that you have enjoyed this melodious and sweet kalam in the praises of our beloved Habib sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We make dua in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah azza wa jal grant us the complete love for his beloved Habib sallallahu alaihi wasallam and grant us the ability, the tawfiq to implement his beautiful sunnahs in our life as well. Ameen ya rabbal alameen. Alhamdulillah, dear viewers of Madani Channel, we are discussing I must strive to reform, to rectify, to change myself and the people of the entire world. And mashallah, this is our discussion for today, in which we are going to go into the depths of it so that we gain the true understanding of the slogan. And the first part of the slogan is that I must strive to rectify. I must strive to reform myself. Why is that so important? You might ask a question that I am good with the way I am. I am fine the way I am. A person may come and say this about themselves. You know, I am living my life for so long. Why are you coming to me and saying that I must rectify myself? Nowadays, we get people with this kind of mindset, wherein they would say, you know what, mind your own business and leave me on my own lane. Allah. However, I'm living my life, it's my life. You know, it's either my way or the highway, and there's no other way. Such people with mindset we get these days. But they don't really understand why it's so important to rectify themselves. And at times they think that it's going to put them down. They think that, you know, just by leaving their bad ways, they're going to end up going down. Mm. But it's not like that. You know, if you really have to look at it, when a person changes themselves, when a person rectifies themselves, then what's happening in that process is that they are getting personal growth.
Mm.
They are transforming themselves into something better.
Mm.
And when they do that, obviously to have that personal growth, to transform yourself into something better, it doesn't just happen like that. It's not a step where you just take and then next moment, A to Z, I am all good now, I'm all rectified. It's a process wherein a person now, when he intends to rectify himself, he analyzes himself. He looks at, I have this shortcoming, I have that shortcoming in me, I have another shortcoming in me, and the list goes so long. And now each one, he'll put it on his bucket list and he will start to tick them off, that this one I need to start to sort out. If I have any shortcomings, I need to sort out each one step at a time. And when a person does that, their shortcomings will go away. They will make themselves better versions, not of others, but a better version of their own self. Instead of going around and saying, hey, this person is like that, that brother is like this,
true,
this person is like that, and he talks like this, he eats like this, he sleeps like this, he walks like that, he runs like this. Instead of focusing on other people, the person will now focus on their own self. And this is what every individual needs to do, that they focus on their own self, rectify their own self. That's the only way to do it. So once they analyze their shortcomings, that goes away, they are becoming better. Then they address all the negative traits that are within them. Because you have two aspects here. One is a person has to rectify themselves on the outward self must be rectified. For example, if a person doesn't have a beard, now a person must start to keep a beard. It's sunnah, you know, it's compulsory for a person to keep a beard. This is the outward self. Then the inner rectification, that's the second aspect, pertaining to the individual, not to others. The second aspect is the inner self, where a person now must purify their heart. And the way they go about that is first repentance.
Mashallah.
To seek repentance in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. After seeking repentance, then they must do good deeds to wipe away the evil deeds, as mentioned by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Once they do that, then they would see now that jealousy is not a good, thing to have in one's heart. That will go out the window. Holding grudges, that's also not good, out the window. Having hatred, having malice, being greedy for wealth, and having love for this world, and having ill suspicion of others, all of these evil traits and qualities will also go out of it. Once they repent sincerely, start doing good deeds, then by the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, these evil traits and qualities of the inner self, that will also go out. So there are two aspects here. One is the outward self, one is the inner self. Once that is done, then a person will see, a person will find so much of positivity in them that they would be walking, they would be talking, and other people, just by looking at them, they would take them as role models. They would say, hey, look at this person. Just by seeing him, I want to become like him. How did that person gain it? How did he become a role model? He became a role model because he rectified himself. That's how he became a role model. And when a person rectifies themselves, they remove all the negative, energy from themselves. They take it out one side. And what's being put back inside thereafter is all the positive energy being absorbed. And with that, we see that a person now, he maintains healthier family bonds. His relationships become much more healthier, much more stronger. He has a positive influence on others as well. Now, Master, this was with regards to the first part, right? That I must strive to reform myself. And these are the steps that a person must take in order to rectify themselves, right? Once this is done, mashallah, that person himself will become a role model. Everyone will look up to him and he is good to go. The second part, Master, which is very, very important. And you know, if you really think about it, this is the part where people tend to, well, some people tend to often neglect. They would focus on themselves. Once they find a better version of themselves, the second part, they say, you know what, I'm in my lane, whatever that person is doing, he is in his lane. Whether he is doing good, whether he's doing bad, that's not my job. I'm not bothered about him. But here, the mission statement is, the slogan is, that I must strive to reform myself and the people of the entire world. Now, obviously, a person that will obviously start off by changing at least one person's life, right? Now, this aspect, Master, the second aspect, how does a person go about with regards to the second aspect of the slogan, and what understanding, what deeper understanding is there in relation to the slogan, Master?
Allahu Akbar, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. We are extremely fortunate if we are part of this group that is able to forbid others from committing evil, Mawlana Sahib. Alhamdulillah, firstly, if a person succeeded in rectifying himself first, most definitely he will qualify and he will succeed in correcting and rectifying the actions and mistakes of others as well. But a person has to be sincere for himself first. You know, I'm just recalling the beautiful statement of Jalaluddin Rumi, rahmatullahi
ta'ala. Subhanallah.
He says, I think this is the summary of what I'm going to mention. It's not word to word, right?
Right.
But he states that until I was clever, I intended to change the world. Until I was clever, I wanted to change the world. Today, I am wiser. I want to change myself.
Subhanallah. Subhanallah.
So when you become
wiser,
really
profound,
So when you get a little wiser in life, you realize that I have been pointing fingers at others in life all along. Woh ghalat hai, woh ghalat hai, ye hai, aisa hai, waisa hai. At the end, jab maine akhir mein apne aap mein ko jhaake dekha, when I saw within myself how many mistakes and flaws I have, I have forgotten the mistakes of others, I'm focused on myself.
Allah,
and if you focus on the missionary statement, the maqsad, the slogan of Dawud Islami, it's very true, mashallah. That is why Amir Ahle Sunnat says, I must try to rectify myself first. Because you cannot rectify others when you yourself are filled with many flaws, mistakes. So, alhamdulillah, this is the mission of this movement and this is what we are doing. A person should remember, Mawlana, that for this Mubarak task, Allah Azza wa Jalla, who is the creator, he wants the creation to recognize him as a creator.
Right.
We came in this world and this place which is filled with plays, amusement, adornment. It's a place where you are most definitely going to forget who you are in reality, right? So once we have come here, though we promised Allah Azza wa Jalla, قَالُوا بَلَىٰ, when we were asked, أَلَسْتُ بِرَبِّكُمْ, do you take me to be your Lord? I'm just giving a little brief, especially for the views of Madinah, very quickly to understand the importance of Amrun bil Ma'ruf. And thus, Anbiya alayhimu salatu was salam, who are the highest, exceptionally pious individuals, who were sent for one of the greatest tasks, and that is to find people, or make people remember and come back to the basics, and that is to the reality, to understand that Allah Kareem is my creator. I should stop idolatry, I should stop worshipping this and that, I should remember my creator. And this is the fundamental, foundational structure and main business of the Anbiya alayhimu salatu wasalam. They did not come to make money from people, they did not come to do business with people. they came specially to divert people from the pits of gunah and sins, from bringing them out of the pit and taking them to the path of Sirati Mustaqim.
Right.
Bringing them to Jannah, showing them the ultimate truth. And for this task, Mawlana Sahib, approximately 124,000 messengers came. And our beloved Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is a seed of all prophets. He came as the last messenger for the very same task. SubhanAllah. And he came as a witness for all the previous messengers who came for their nations.
Allah.
So our beloved Rasul and this Ummah is a witness upon all the previous nations and their prophets who came to convey the message of righteousness to them.
Gee.
Now that the doors of prophethood is closed, our beloved Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is the last Nabi, Akhri Nabi, Akhri Pyare Nabi, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And there is no other prophet to come after him. If anyone claims to be a prophet, besides being mad, he is a disbeliever.
Right.
Pagal to Hayoga on the highest level, a certified Pagal he must be. But together with that, he is a disbeliever. And there is no other prophet to come after Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam until the day of Qiyamah. However, to carry out this fundamental task for which prophets came before Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, who will convey this message of haq? Who will convey the message of righteousness? Who will help people who have diverted and resorted to kufr and to other types of gunas and sins? Who will help them to bring them out from the pits of infidelity and sins, Mawlana Sahib?
No, Masab, that's a very important question right there.
Kaun karega, Mawlana?
Who will do this?
Who will do this job? Yeah, so we're going to keep playing the blaming game. It's your job, it's my job, it's Mawlana Sahib's job, it's Mufti Sahib's job, it's Hazrat Alim Sahib's job, it's a Hafiz Sahib's job. So it's a Qari Sahib's job. Any person who did Darsi Nizami, it's only his job to convey this message of righteousness, to help people understand that if due to work, due to money, due to dunya, due to the love of dunya, if you forgot your reality, who you are and why Allah sent you here, somebody has to remind the brother. Because he's a believer, he's a Muslim. And it's possible that after becoming a Muslim too, shaitan's traps and his attacks are quite severe and strong. Yeah. People divert, people forget their path. People then resort to sinning and other types of gunas and vices, Mawlana. So for this work and task, the doors of prophethood close, but the doors of wilayat are always open.
Subhanallah.
Kareem will send awliyas. His special friends will come, mashallah, from amongst the people.
Gee.
Like from amongst the people, messengers came. From amongst the same people, from their own progenies, awliya will emerge.
Subhanallah.
Friends of Allah will emerge. And thereafter, pious individuals. So this is not the job of just ulama after the blessed Anbiya alayhimus salatu wasalam, but rather it is a job and responsibility and duty of every Muslim male and female. Chahe you're a worker, whether you're an employer, employee. For example, you're the imam or the muazzin, it doesn't matter. Whether you are small or big, whether you are rich or poor, at the end of the day, if you're a believer, it's your responsibility to convey the message of Allah and the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Yani, it is important for you to forbid that person from committing evil and for you to command good.
Right.
Enjoin people towards goodness. This is a responsibility of every person, Mawlana Sahib.
No, Masab, on that note, right, you mentioned something very, very beautiful. And normally, majority of people have this misconception or this misunderstanding that, as you've mentioned, they would think that it's the Imam Sahib's job, that if they see someone doing wrong, then he must go. I don't need to go. I'm a musalli that's coming for my five times daily salah. That's not my job to do. And this is how you've mentioned, Masab. I think, you know, you have mentioned it so beautifully that it's important and necessary for each and every believer, male or female, as you've mentioned, for them to carry out this task. You know, because this is one of the khasiyat, one of the specialities of this ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where even the Holy Quran documents this as well, Masab.
I mean, take for example, Mawlana. There's a group of 5,000 people.
Right.
Amongst that 5,000 people, how many scholars are there to guide them in a gathering? Right. Just one example to make you understand.
Gee.
When wrong occurs amongst the people, amongst those people, the group of people, each one will think, this is not my responsibility. You can go and sort it out yourself. You can go rectify. Each one will blame one another. So there's a lack of scholars in society.
Right.
There's a lack of those who have a passion to command good and to forbid evil. There's a lack of people. Not every person wants to do this because they say, no, I don't want to be a judge. You know, I don't want to be the judge. I'm not here to judge people who are doing bad and wrong.
Some would say, it's not my business.
It's none of my business. And when you rectify somebody, and people who have the hak and the right to do this, meaning those who are much more qualified for this task, even when they rectify others, they say, it's none of your business.
So both ways.
So both ways, you are still in a problem. And we are sitting with this major issue in society where everyone feels I'm correct, I'm right, others are wrong. We feel that others have more sins. We don't ever look into ourselves. We don't perform introspection to see how right and how wrong am I.
Right.
And where are, how much of room is there for me to rectify myself. So, bas ye hai ki sabse qabl, sabse pehle, hum apne aap ko dekhe. How do you know that you have tasted Allah's love? Sure. Is when you stop focusing on the mistakes of others and you focus on your own mistakes. So a person busies himself. He busies himself in rectifying his own mistakes and he less focuses on what others are doing. Right. So the time that he spends rectifying his own self, his own mistakes, is because he has tasted Allah's love.
Allah's Subhanallah.
So he doesn't have the time to point finger, yo ghalat hai, wo ghalat hai. So this is the first category of people who are most focused within themselves.
Right.
They want to focus on themselves, they want to rectify their own sins. And that is very important, Mulana.
No, so that actually reminds me, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, the second Khalifa of Islam, you know, him being a leader, him being a Khalifa, you know, he would take self-introspection of himself. And if you look at that, when you read that, you think to yourself that, I mean, he was such a beloved companion to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, certified Jannati, guaranteed Jannah. And yet he still took self-accountability of himself. You know, and that's also a way for a person to better themselves as well. And you were speaking on how a person should change others as well. Once they have rectified themselves, then the second part was that I must have to reform the people of the entire world. You know, before Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam could announce his prophethood, there was a particular individual who was a Muslim. And this individual, actually, he was the father of a certified Jannati companion of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam by the name of Sayyidina Sa'id bin Zayd radiallahu ta'ala anhu. He was from the Ashara Mubashara. Now, his father, Zayd bin Amr, he was in the time when the people in the age of Jahiliyyah, they would be drinking alcohol, they would be gambling, they would bury their daughters alive. And he would go to them and he would tell them that, you know what, do not bury her alive. I mean, she's your daughter. If you want to do that, you know, you'd rather give me to her instead. I will take care of her, give her in my custody. I will bring her up. I will take care of her. I will sort out her food, her drink, her clothing, everything, all the responsibilities, I take it upon myself. When we look at this here, Masa, this was now before Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam could announce his prophethood. And here we have an individual, the father of a companion of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who is practicing on Amrun bil Ma'aruf wa Nahyun anil Munkar. He is seeing the evil happening. He is witnessing it, right? And his attitude was, he wasn't like, I'm just going to sit back and so many people are doing it. What difference am I going to make? One man, if I go, what difference is it going to make? Because it was so widespread at the time. But still, he never let all of these thoughts make him give up. He wasn't put down because of that. He still went forward. And he still prevented that evil from happening. I mean, other indecencies were happening in this time, and he would still go and tell people that do not do this, it's wrong. Do not do this, it's wrong. He was of a person, his nature was such that he would enjoin good, he would promote goodness, he would publicize goodness. And on the other hand, he would prevent evil. He would stop others from committing evil. And he was that individual who acted upon Amrun bil Ma'ruf wa Nahyun anil Munkar.
MashaAllah, beautiful example, Maulana Sahib. So many examples like this can be found, you know, amongst the Sahaba Ikram, alayhim ridwan, how they took this so serious, Maulana Sahib. There would be like a competition amongst them.
Yes.
Who would perform more good deeds, who will help more people, who will forbid evil. And they never feared. never ever feared the consequences of what would happen. I mean, look at the prophets of Allah Azza wa Jalla. Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam. He conveyed the message of Allah for 950 years.
Allahu Akbar. 950 years.
950 years, Mawlana.
I mean, we think 60 years is a very long time.
It's a long time, but 950 years. He propagated the oneness of Allah Azza wa Jalla. But in exchange of his preaching, what did he get, Mawlana, for 950 years? He was fed up of his nation because his nation belied him. His nation threatened to kill him. They threatened to stone him. They called him various types of names. Allahu Akbar. They insulted him.
Allah.
And they had ridiculous types of conditions. Different types of oppression and slandering words they used for this Prophet of Allah. But what was his job at the Emirah? He continued. He did not become weak in his mission. He didn't. I'm sure he became sad many a times because he became fed up of his nation. But he never given up what he was created to do, Muhammad. Like we are created to worship Allah Azza wa Jalla. فَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. This is the command of Allah Azza wa Jalla. This is the Quranic verse that we are created only for His worship. But see, we forgot the purpose of our existence.
Right.
And other things have taken priorities in our lives. Supporting the family, making children, making a business successful. And your 50, 60 years is already spent putting this right, and you forget the ultimate purpose. So the dunya is such that this place is a place of adornment, the place of enjoyment, the place where we only want to have a competition who can surpass each other in family and in wealth.
Right.
I got more kids, I got more lighties, you got less, you got more. It's a dunya where there's only showing off involved.
Right.
It's only to show who got more and who got less. So in such a place where there's so much of fitna, you have to have people who are reminding each other. You have to have people who are there to hold your hand and say, let's go to Jannah together,
yes,
inshallah, azza wa jalla. And you can find this in the movement of Dawat Islami. This is Dawat Islami. This is why for the last 45 years, from the time of its inception and its existence, alhamdulillah, it never went off its mission for a moment, even Mawlana. From day one, we've seen Amiri Ahl Sunnah, just as he is conveying the message of Haqq, conveying the message of righteousness to people. Therefore, you would find thousands of people, not 1, 2, 3, 5, 10, 15. Aisa nahi, Mawlana. Aise hazaaron log honge jinke paas daadiyan nahi thi. They did not adorn this beautiful sunnah. And through the blessings of Amrul Bil Ma'ruf wa Nahyun Anil Munkar, through this organization, this movement of Quran and Sunnah, this message was conveyed. So Amir Ahl Sunnah kept his own beard first. His beard was always there, mashallah, from the time he reached the age of puberty, and mashallah, he did imamat, so on and so forth. He made his mureedin, all his followers keep beard, and all those who love him also try and keep their beards, mashallah. Likewise, likewise, Zulfain Sharif, mashallah, the sunnah way of keeping your hair, your dressing code, your habits, your akhlaq, loving
Sharif
the Quran, Imamah Sharif. Not 1, 2, 5, 10, 100, 200, but thousands who were be-namazi, who never did one salah in their lives, became namazi. Hundreds and thousands of people who were kuffar became Muslims. They came into the fold of Islam through this hukum, through this amal of conveying the message of righteousness to others. Aap malabi chale jaye, dekhna. Usman Madani Sahib is doing fantastic work. They're a product of Dawat Islami.
Yes.
So it's like a lamp. Amir al-Sunnah has lit in other lamps, mashallah, who are lighting others.
Mashallah.
And hundreds and thousands, mashallah. It is this one order. It is this one hukum. And it is the passion to convey the message of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So, Mawlana, in this path, most definitely, there are hiccups, there are hurdles, there are obstacles, there are ripples, there are waves that will come to stop you from this mission and work. Like Shaitan doesn't want, because there is a challenge. Shaitan has respite until the last and final hour.
Right.
Yani, until the first trumpet that will be blown.
Mm-hmm.
Shaitan has been given respite until then to mislead people. And Allah Azza wa Jalla has, subhanallah, until that final moment as well, taken it upon His rahmah and His karam to forgive people for as long as they come towards Him.
Subhanallah.
So, when you say forbid someone from evil, is that you remind that person of tawbah.
The first step.
The first step.
Right.
Is to take that person towards the path of Allah Azza wa Jalla, is to make him hate what he's doing first. You need to place in his heart the importance of making tawbah, and the importance of leaving the wrong that he has been indulged in for the last couple of weeks, months, years, whatever it may be.
Right.
So a person needs to give up. He needs to dislike the action that he was always indulged in. For example, consuming alcohol, womanizing, missing salah, or any other haram, for instance. After you identify the mistake, you have remorse in your heart, and then you make tawbah, which is the three conditions of tawbah mentioned in many books as well by our pious predecessors. And thereafter, you see how the karam, the doors of mercy opens upon a person. And the mashallah, a person excels in life, Mawlana, thereafter.
On that point, Mawlana, so a person rectifying themselves, right? And we've discussed that, right? And now we're speaking about the second part of the slogan. Now, with the second part of the slogan, mashallah, you've mentioned, you know, you've shared so much of light and importance of Amrun bil Ma'ruf wa Nahyun 'anil Munkar, promoting good and preventing evil. Now, Mawlana, we've established this part, right? The second step is rectifying others. On that note, when it comes to rectifying others, Mawlana, some, when they are being rectified, they may run away from the person or they may get closer to that person. Because sometimes the approach of the person who's going to rectify, maybe his approach was not correct. Maybe his approach was in a very absurd way. Maybe his approach was in a very forceful, aggressive kind of way, which made this person fall under this impression that what kind of a man is he? Who is he to tell me what to do with my life? For example, the person came and said, hey, you need to start wearing turban. You need to start keeping the beard. You need to start doing this. You need to start doing that. If this is the approach, what is going to be going in that person's mind? You know, he would think, say, for example, he's new and he's not so educated. He wants to be taught. He wants to learn. But because of the approach, that made an impact on him. And he said, you know what? This is not right. This person now, because he would think of this stuff, you know. So how does a person go about rectifying others, Mawlana? How should their approach be?
I think the answer for this, Mawlana Sahib, is only from Quran Park, because Quran has taught us how to convey the message of Allah with hikmah and wisdom. We've got to call people towards the path of Allah with wisdom, with sound wisdom, Mawlana.
Right.
With the hikmah, with a lot of wisdom, because people dislike being rectified in a harsh way.
So it should be
wisdom. It's human nature, Mawlana.
Right.
Nobody, even a child, doesn't want to be shouted at.
Yeah.
If you have 2 years old, he doesn't want to tell me what to do. He wants to talk to you with love. When you have a child, you have to talk to the big people. Those who are elder in age, those who are more senior, they would not want to be spoken to in a bad way.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of wisdom and hikmah is actually used in conveying the message of Allah Azza wa Jalla and in rectifying people. I have seen people shouting people. There was some person who came to the masjid with his sitar aura a little exposed, you know. So, and he was under, and he never reached the age of puberty.
Right.
These cases you would often hear that those who are elder in society, when they want to rectify any youth, any child, then they sometimes may do it in a harsh way. But sometimes it's just the andaz, because they're old, so they speak in that way.
Right.
But you're speaking to a child now. If you shouted at him, he's never going to want to come to the masjid ever again. So there's a way to tell him how to dress, or tell the parent who's brought the child and come to the masjid firstly.
Yeah.
Maybe it's his mother who dressed him the way he's dressed. So it's wisdom, Mawlana, wisdom. Because of your words, you can either make or break that person. If you broke him, it's very hard to enjoin once again. It's very hard to mend again.
And so it's not just about going straight and then striking it right on the head. It's not just about telling it straight to the person in order to rectify them. Because obviously there would be a andaz, as we call it, way of doing it.
Let me give you one example, right? Mawlana also knows this example, very beautiful, mashallah. Often we have mentioned examples of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Not one, not two, there are numerous examples of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And one example is such that it is mentioned that a Bedouin came to Masjid al-Nabawi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Aqa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was seated with his companions. And he came and in one corner he began to urinate. And when he had done this, others went to stop him instantly from amongst the companions. And Huzur-e Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on one or two occasions stopped them. Sit, wait, let him complete. And look at the wisdom, as ulama ikram mentioned. I mean, Huzur-e Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then said to his companions that, a person should not be stopped in the midst of his business. Because this could have become detrimental and dangerous for his health, Mawlana.
Allah.
Stopping a person whilst urinating and over and above he's standing and doing so, So this could cause some harm to his internal organs.
Allah.
And he could have damaged his body. So stopping and waiting for him to complete what he was doing was so much of wisdom. Now that person in this way, in this andaz of Huzuri Pak rectifying him, see if there's somebody else, hey, dare you pee and urinate here.
Get out from here. And
you are gone from here, never to be seen ever again in the, even near to the masjid. You got no sharam, you got no haya, you got no this, you got no that. Now, that person's heart would have broken. Over and above, he would have never got closer to the masjid ever again. But this was the prophetic andaz. Such a way that even enemies become friends. Allahu Akbar. Even something which is bitter becomes sweet because of the andaz. So, others who got the problem, there's one problem in society that, you know what, it's not none of my business, as you said in the very beginning, right? It's for others to do. Ho rahe to ho rahe do, we just wait for somebody to come and rectify that mistake and problem. And I'm going to mention maybe in 2 minutes as to what I have understood, you know. Imagine there's a ship that's a triple-decker ship in the ocean.
Right.
And the lower deck, then you got the center, then you got the above, the top deck, right?
Okay.
And those people who are boarding in the last deck of the ship, right? As this ship is in the midst of the sea and now water begins to seep and gush into the lowest deck, which is the bottom deck. So then everyone is alerted, you know what, there's water coming to the ship. So those on the top deck, they peep to the bottom and say, ha, the water is coming, but it's coming in the first deck. We are safe still, you know, there's no problem for us.
Allahu
Akbar. So, chal rahe na, doob rahe to doobne do, hamara kya jayega isme? Jo doobenge to niche wale honge, hum kahan honge, niche
hum doobne. We are still safe and sound.
We are still safe and sound. So this is the mistake many people do and make. Not realizing that you are in the midst of kufr, you are in the midst of gunah and sins done openly. There's kufr and there's haram and there's so much of sins committed openly. Right. And we Muslims who reside, we are residing in the midst of all this haram that's happening. I'm not saying only in the midst of those who are non-Muslim, but even in our own homes, there are Muslims residing there and there's haram happening in your own home.
Right.
So don't think like how the people in the first decker would think, that is, like the people on the top deck are thinking, you know what, they are drowning, it's fine. Due to their sins, when the torment would come, you can become part of it. So likewise, when you see haram, you see guna, you see sins, and you make no attempt whatsoever. You're seeing your mothers and your sisters and your daughters walking in the marketplaces where their bodies exposed.
Allah.
Nah. I'm going to go for Hajj. I'm going to go for Umrah. I'm enjoying my life now. How can you think that way there? You have allowed for your own mothers and your own sisters and daughters to behave in that way against Sharia. So you expecting the Mulana sahab who got no rishta with your wife and children, that Alim or Hafiz or Mufti sahab who got no rishta, he will still rectify.
Right.
But it was your responsibility as the one in charge of his flock, as the one in charge of his people.
His duty to inform them.
His duty to inform
them
and rectify. And thereafter, you say cherry on the cake is like when seniors thereafter would, will endorse whatever you say to your family in other words to make it more solid that your family should follow you. So we are living in a society where everyone really minds their own business. I'm saying this again, Maulana Sahib. If a person has no way to rectify, then you better keep quiet.
Yes, 100%.
If you know that your words would hurt somebody, then keep quiet.
Yeah.
But don't fear that what people would say. Because when you see a gunah isn happening, this is the summary of the hadith, that you should stop that with your hands. And if not with your hands, then you should stop that with your tongue. And if not with your tongue, then at least consider that the action which is being committed is a sin in your heart. You should at least consider that action being a sin, it's a guna, it's wrong. And that is actually the weakest point of a person's
Allah,
iman. But
Allah,
at least
Allah.
Today's day and age, leave alone thinking in our heart is wrong. We become part of the guna.
Allah.
You see a group of Muslims dancing, music is going on.
Some even indulge themselves in it.
Exactly. Instead of stopping that with their hands or their tongue or thinking in their heart, there's music happening, people are dancing here. Others sometimes become part of it. So likewise, Maulana Sahib, we should always remember that when sins are happening, don't think that only they will be punished. But those people who like to sit and enjoy and watch, jo ho raha hai, you know, it's fine, it's okay. And at least I'm not involved in it. I'm okay, I'm sound and I'm fine. On the day of judgment, such people can also be into problem.
Actually, Murasab, this was the downfall of Bani Israel as well.
Yes.
That everyone desires, you know, that I wish my community becomes a peaceful community. My community, there shouldn't be theft, there shouldn't be robbery, there shouldn't be burglary. No one should be hijacking my car. No one should be kidnapping anyone. Everyone has this desire in them that wherever I'm staying, my community remains safe and sound. How does it become safe and sound? It becomes safe and sound not by seeing something wrong and then just keeping quiet and just, oh, it's not my business. Let it go. It's okay. But it can become peaceful. It can become beautiful. It can become a positive environment when the person takes that initiative and says to the other person that, you know what,
Allah,
what you're doing is wrong. Don't do it in a nice way. And when the person feels this approach with such love, obviously the person will now feel to themselves, hey, you know what? What I'm doing is wrong. I can't continue like this any longer. And like this, one by one, step by step, sooner or later, eventually, that entire community
is reformed.
Is reformed. Well, so, we come to the conclusion of our program today, alhamdulillah. Are there any parting words from yourself, Mawasar?
MashaAllah, Huzur, I would just say make abundance of istighfar, tawbah, day and night. And the one who does abundance of istighfar, it is hope that his sins will be forgiven. And before Inshallah. He leaves this world, he will protect his iman. His iman will be protected. He will be reciting the kalima before departing from the dunya. Our ultimate goal and mission is to protect this great treasure. We have given it no importance as of today. Until today, give it importance by understanding that I'm a Muslim. It's so important, mashallah, to recognize yourself first and then recognize the importance of this greatest treasures which we have, which is the iman. So make dua for it to increase, make dua for it to get stronger day by day, and continue making dua, inshallah, azawajalla. Allah Kareem, keep us in a saf of those who are those who please Allah azawajalla by rectifying others and are rectified themselves as well.
Ameen. Subhanallah, subhanallah. Jazakallah, ma'asaf, for those beautiful duas. By the views of Madani Channel, we have reached the end of our episode today, and I'm sure you've heard a lot regarding the deeper understanding of I must strive to reform myself and the people of the entire world. Take this and spread it towards your family members, towards your friends, and to the community at large, inshallah. Inshallah, we will be back with many more topics of discussion to discuss. So stay tuned and keep watching Madani Channel. Always remember the slogan of this beautiful movement of Quran and Sunnah, that I must strive to reform myself and the people of the entire world. Inshallah Azza wa Jal. Sallu ala al-Habib Sallallahu ala Muhammad Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Treasures of wisdom, treasures of wisdom, treasures of wisdom, treasures of wisdom, treasures of wisdom.